Welcome back to A Mime Soapbox, everybody. I'm Drew, per usual, and today we have a new special guest. We have Kenny Stroh, who is the amazing monstrous vocalist from Dead Vectors. How are you doing, Kenny?
I am good. What is up, my guy? How are you?
What is up? I am great, and I'm more than pleased and tickled to get sit down and talk to you for a little bit, especially on short notice, which I'm more than grateful for.
Yeah, dude, I'm super stoked. This is going to be fun.
Yeah, it really is. I wanted to start with because you know, I found you on Twitch coincidentally this week, and you were talking about how many songs you guys put out that last year, which is hard to say last year now because it's a new year. But how many songs exactly did you guys do last year?
In total, 2021 was 53 songs that we released.
53 songs. Now, was it like a goal to do one a week, or did you have like an actual schedule, or just run it when you could?
It's actually funny because when we kind of came up with the idea of doing that like monthly release thing, Aaron, my producer, and like he's the pretty much the main writer, he writes all the instruments and everything, he hit me up and he said we should do like a shit ton of DV this year, and I was down. Like, who doesn't want a ton of music? But then he suggested doing a song every week. And at that point in time, I was like, that's absolutely crazy. Like, I don't think that's a good idea. Like, I think instead of doing weekly releases, it should just be monthly releases. And we'll just do a few songs like each month, like an EP thing. So it's like easy for us to like manage, easy for us to promote. We only have to worry about one piece of cover art every month. Like, it seemed like a better idea. And then as the months went on, I kind of realized that we were actually coming close to having that same schedule of like song per week. And we hit 53, which is more than the amount of weeks in a year, which is fucking ridiculous.
That's actually insane. Now, how do you actually, A, find the creative inspiration to produce that many songs, and then B, have the work ethic and drive to continue to do it, whether it's a good mental week or bad physical week, whatever it might be? Like, how do you stay that consistent?
Well, Aaron really is the workhorse behind it. And he's a songwriter for like, that's what he does for a living. He's a producer and songwriter. So we just had the idea that every month we're going to do a completely different style and just, you know, have certain elements that were the same. But we went into each month with a different particular like vibe in mind, and we just kind of strive to do that. And with each vibe came different lyrical inspiration, different ideas in general, different sounds. So after, you know, doing an entire year's worth, the idea part of it, having the ideas and like the different riffs and stuff in mind, wasn't actually the hard part. It was just, you know, the sheer amount of stuff, you know, kind of made that a little bit more difficult.
Yeah, so like the creative juices were always going. It was just a matter of time, huh?
Dude, I was always like 3 or 4 months ahead of time in terms of like what I wanted, like sound wise, like the ideas behind the lyrics, the ideas for like this, that, and the other. Like, we are always like way ahead of time in terms of like what we want to do. It's just a matter of, you know, focusing that month on that particular month that we're releasing. And that's where like the more grindy stuff came in, because all the stuff we worked on for a particular month, say, just for example, like a January release. Well, it wasn't January, but any other release, like the first 2 weeks we would work on the music from the start to the finish of everything. It would be in those first 2 weeks, and then we release it on the last day of the month. And then we just start that cycle over and over and over again.
Yeah, it's nuts, and it shows, you know, when you're talking about how like each month kind of had a different tone or style or whatever you want to call it, like it really, really shows. I noticed that like doing my research before talking to you again and re-listening to a lot of the EPs that I've already listened to last year, like they really stand out amongst each other. Like there's a lot of times like within deathcore and slam, it gets really repetitive over time. Like, you know, a band has an established sound, they stick with it, it works. And you guys really, really venture out. Like, I remember, which ones were, I'm going to have to try and remember names. Like, Wax City was really unique, which was more recent. I think Paralyzer was probably my favorite,
really?
Specifically Crooked.
No, all right.
The breakdown on Crooked's so freaking good.
The
Yeah, where it's like the TikTok clock kind of sound. Yeah, dude, I think it was that EP is when I really established the mindset of how good you guys were.
But you're just being kind.
I mean, I guess. I mean, like I said, we follow you guys here. This isn't like some random offshoot. We did want to talk to you. You know, I'd like to. But The Aggressor was also really, really good, and Voidless, and then they all sound so uniquely different. Like one I remember like way more genty. One had a really strong nu metal vibe. I don't know if that was intentional or not, but I'm a big nu metal dude. I think it was Wax City had the nu metal.
Wax City, that one was entirely like inspired by nu metal and specifically Korn. We just wanted to do something that was literally wacky, and then we're very bad at naming things.
Mm-hmm.
We literally were talking about it for months, saying we need to have something wacky. And then I came up with the idea. I was like, why don't we just call it Wax City? And I don't know. We're really, really bad with naming stuff, but like.
Well, Korn started deathcore anyway. Like, I don't think you can have a single deathcore band out there that doesn't coin Korn as an influence in one way or another, right?
True. It's either that or like Slipknot.
Yeah. Yeah. One of the two, for sure. Yeah. I love nu metal. So when Wax City came out, I got real excited because I could hear it. Like, it was a success. What you guys were trying to do, it shined through. Super, super, super good.
Thank you. That one was a lot of fun to make. A lot of fond memories making that.
I think that's something else we can get into. So you guys get a lot of your stuff posted on Slam Worldwide, obviously, like everybody else. Why wouldn't you?
Between them and Beheading the Traitor.
Yeah, Beheading the Traitor.
It depends on if it actually kind of fits into like a slam or like super deathcore vibe. If it's like a little bit more metalcore or something, we'll just not put it on Slam because people complain on Slam Worldwide so much and it's so funny. But like, I try not to piss them off on purpose.
Yeah, there's some whiners for sure. I mean, back in the day, Slam Worldwide was just purely Slam, and then started getting into like deathcore and hardcore and stuff. And I think that's a good thing. But you got those gatekeeping elitist, you know, POSs that just ruin everybody's fun for no reason. Yeah. But what I have noticed is in the Slam Worldwide descriptions, it seems like every time you guys post an EP through them. They coin you as a different subgenre. Have you noticed that?
Yes, everyone complains about it. Everyone hates Insanity Core.
Yeah, I have that here. So, Insanity Core. Did you guys come up with that or did Slam Worldwide?
No, this was Aaron. So, like I said, Aaron has his songwriting business. And, like, he would try to, like, make new sounds and whatnot. And one of the songs that I heard that made me attracted to go work with Aaron was coined an Insanity Core song. So we were a mix between like super heavy gent and Insanity Core. And that was the Distraught Mind EP and as well as The Hive. But we talked to Slam to release that. And at that point in time, we were just like, fuck it, let's just call it Insanity Core. Just because that's like, I don't know, we just thought it was cool. And that one time he just took it and Slam Worldwide has done it on their own part, just posted all of our stuff and doesn't even listen to it. I don't think he just puts Insanity Core as the genre, and every single time we release through Slam Worldwide and it says Insanity Core, people flip out in the comments and it's hilarious. What the hell is Insanity Core?
That's great. Yeah, I was thinking about that today specifically because I started noticing that trend and I was like, man, is this a Slam Worldwide thing? And like, how do they come up with this? And then my wife even said like, well, maybe they tell them that's what they are. Maybe it's not Slam Worldwide. And I was like, oh shit, you're right.
Once, just once. And that's all it took. And now all of the people in Slam Worldwide hate us.
I don't know. I've actually reached out to, I just hit up a few friends this week since me and you initially met and talked. And was telling him like, hey, we're going to do, you know, Dead Vectors episode next. It's going to be super sick. And they're all super excited about it. So I wouldn't pay too much attention to Slam Worldwide. I had like four or five friends all really stoked, that you were going to be on the show. So it's,
that's exciting.
You guys are well beloved. I can guarantee you that. What on the subject of YouTube, what do you think about all like the YouTube reacts guys that like take your music and just talk over it and give their thoughts and reactions and all that. Do you guys like that or find it cringy or what?
We absolutely love it. We wish there were more people that would like react to our shit, just because like, even if it's like bad criticism, I love those videos just because like we're making so much music that we don't really even like pay attention to like anything else. But like just to see someone enjoy or like really listening to something that we made, like it just hits home for us. But I don't know. It gets us all giddy and we start giggling like a couple of little girls or whatever. But
has there been a time where a reactor got more views to one of your songs than your post of the song got?
Actually, no. I think the biggest React channel that we had listen to our stuff was Hardcore Keem.
Keem, yeah, yep.
Man, we were both endorsed by Disorderly, and as soon as he found out that we got on the Disorderly team, he hit us up and he's like, "Yo, let's start like, you know, talk and get all your releases like reacted to, so people can start hearing your stuff." He was super duper supportive. But like even like the super duper small ones were. Like, I forget their names exactly, but like we go back and there's still only like 20 views, but it's still like some of our favorite videos.
That's awesome. I'm glad you guys don't get like pissy about it, I guess. I always thought it was kind of weird, like, oh, they're still in views from like the band and like just kind of like coattailing off of it. But like if you guys like it, that's even better, you know, like
we
absolutely I never knew what people like artists actually thought about these React videos, you know, because you could take it either way. But yeah. That's great. That's good to know.
There's this one guy named TJ, and he hasn't done it for the albums yet. I don't know if he will or not, but like for like, I think it was like 8 EPs in a row, he would post a monthly reaction video to us, and we were like, we would be legitimately excited. Like we've released and we're like, I can't wait to see what TJ has to say about this one.
That's awesome. Like, that's really cool. Do you have a TikTok?
I've been like pestered to make one so many times, and then like also make one for like the band and stuff. Like I made one at some point in time, but like I don't know. I tried and I don't really like it that much.
Gotcha. I was gonna say it would be funny if you're just laying there in bed swiping through and like some of your material or a React or something of your own band came up. That would be pretty dope.
I have seen a couple of those. People linked me to them. That was like super duper cool. That reminds me, there was someone clipped a little bit of the Chameleon music video, like the intro.
Mm-hmm.
And the dude was super nice. He put like craziest vocal range ever, but like it was over a part of the song that didn't have much range. And, like a bunch of people shit on it in the comments, but it got like 25,000 views and it helped us immensely. Like on our Spotify artists, like we could see the numbers of like when people start listening to us and like how many streams this day versus that day. Mm-hmm. And like that really blew us up. That's awesome. That particular TikTok was in January. And our numbers like doubled because of that one little TikTok.
That's amazing.
Yeah,
TikTok, well, of all thing, you know, a preteen dancing app blew up.
Oh my God, dude.
The hardest working deathcore band around, like that's great. that's really really cool. Your range, by the way, let's talk about this for a second, is absolutely insane, monstrous.
Thank you.
I mean, each EP not only does it have a different theme and vibe, obviously, but like you can tell how much effort you put into making each one sound vocally original as well. I've heard personally a few influences on specific albums or EPs or releases, whatever you want to call them, where it shines through so much how hard you try to make each one sound so much different. And you're trying new things where like this album or EP has, you know, a good bit of highs. This one is kind of like a Thy Art Is Murder, like just monstrous mid kind of thing to the where you get real nasty on another one. Like it does really show. Well, to me anyway. I know I just want you to hear that from me, if anybody, you know.
Thanks, man. I mean, like every month we would go for like a different sound entirely. Like we both felt like it would be a good idea to like have the vocals kind of match that style, because like my like original style, like if you listen to my stutter is bad today. If you listen to like the Distraught Mind or the Hive or Menace Chameleon, they're all pretty much like deathcore vocals, but like we felt like for certain releases it just wouldn't make sense to like go that way. So like with Enraged, you hear a lot of my yells, which I was super excited to do just because I love doing that vocal style. But like, it doesn't work on some things. Like, I didn't do any of that on like the Depths of Self because that's a, completely different sound and it just wouldn't work. But like, I try to like map myself to whatever the music is, and we go in part by part. The way we record, I just show up at the studio, never hearing the song before. I hear it for the first time, and then we just get to work and just bang out a song. So like, it's really just mapped to whatever the song is in that moment.
That's nuts. Yeah. So I think you alluded to it earlier, and I just wanted to be clear. So does Aaron produce everything as well, an
Yeah.
engineer? That's insane.
Aaron's the producer. He pretty much writes everything. I've helped write a couple guitar parts or whatever. And our buddy Connor wrote the Voidless EP, and he wrote some leads in the Hive and the intro to Into the Rift. Like, that's it. Aaron does like absolutely everything. That dude is a straight up monster.
Yeah, because I mean, your production values, like bar none, it's consistent, it's
Well, he's been
perfect. It's honestly perfect. Every EP, the engineering and production could not be better.
It's wild though, because we do a different style of production each month. Like, each thing sounds totally different. Like, even including the drums, like, we have totally new drum sounds for every EP or album. Like, I don't know how Aaron does it, but he makes like everything he touches is gold. And it's probably because it's definitely because he's been doing it forever. Like, even like when he was doing his own shit in Sever the King, like, it sounded good, and now he's here, and he's like a monster producer.
Yeah, and a monster indeed. And I know I'm not the only one that really holds your production value to such a high brow. Like it's always consistently good. I assumed you guys were just paying someone to do it, but then I was like, man, they released too much stuff to pay someone to mix, master,
My
produce,
God.
and engineer all these songs. They have to be doing it themselves. And I did a little digging, and I was like, holy cow, it's that one guy doing all of this.
Yeah, a lot of people, like especially like around summertime, is like when it started to click that like our producer was in the project, just because like people are like, how do they have so much money? Like, I saw so many comments that were about that, and luckily Aaron was a huge homie and he kind of hooked me up and said, let's just do it and make DV like this awesome project, and he was willing to do it for free. Which is amazing. I fucking love that guy. I mean, I did the math, and holy hell, if I had paid him for the entirety of 2021, it's like, yeah, it's a lot.
Yeah, I could only imagine. And you guys haven't done any live shows or touring, right?
Nope.
Is there an ever a plan to try and make that happen one day?
Oh yeah, there's a plan, but it's also difficult. Just because we don't write our music down, we just record it. So every single song that we want to play live, we're gonna have to learn by ear.
Amazing, amazing.
Yeah, but we
That.
do have a plan. We have like a live crew, so we have enough guys to do a live show.
I was
And
gonna
we're
say, your music videos definitely have more than just you and Aaron.
well, yeah. I mean, I'm also in a band called Pathogen. So they're all homies with me, and Aaron actually hooked me up with them to be their vocalist because they needed a new one when they were recording their first album, Null Space. I went to high school with ha like half of them, so it was kind of cool. They were all like buddies of mine. So for all like the music videos and whatnot we did for DV, or like band photos and whatnot as well. They were super awesome and came in and kind of stood in to be vectors.
That's dope. That's
But
dope. Get your gang pictures done real quick.
I do get asked a bunch if like we if it's like a two piece or if it's like a full band. The actual answer is it's pretty much just me and Aaron, but we do have a live group. So like, me and Aaron are Dead Vectors, and like I have a bunch of friends that are totally up for like standing in or becoming real members if we do go on tour and shit like that.
Sick. Now, I'm sure you already have some plans or some chat, so I'm not trying to like get into that secret information by any means. But aside from the people you're probably already talking to about potentially touring with, is there anyone you want to do a tour with in the future, even if it's outside of the deathcore genre, even with, to make it a little more interesting.
Like what bands I would like to go on tour with?
Yes, sir.
Ooh. Honestly, we're super tight with Sentinels. Those guys are good friends with us. Worm Shepherd as well.
Yeah, they're sick. Worm Shepherd's amazing.
I'm friends with like just about every one of those guys, and like even before Worm Shepherd was a thing, I was chilling with those guys. They're my homies. So
nice.
Signed and going on tour and whatnot. That's so exciting. Those two for sure. I got a bunch of other friend bands, I guess I would call it. But in terms of big bands, man, I have no idea. It's kind of, dude, it's so difficult to imagine a live set because it all depends on what show we're playing. Because we have so many different sounds, we could play almost any heavy show.
That's true. That's very true.
We constantly joke about like what in the world would our set list be in general. But I don't know, man. Those two for sure. Sentinels and Worm Shepherd would be awesome because those guys are the homies.
That makes sense. No, I'd love that for sure, especially Worm Shepherd.
I can't forget to mention Marked Life. They're super dope. They're out in Arizona and California. Those guys are the shit. I would love to tour with them because they're so cool, and I love hanging with them and doing videos and stuff with them. And Decayer, who is also in Arizona. Those dudes are super dope.
Yeah, Decayer's good. I'm pretty sure I've checked out Decayer, too.
Divisive from Tennessee. Those guys are the shit, too. There's too many bands, man.
Well, since you guys are so versed in different EPs and different tones, would there ever be a chance that Dead Vectors put out a hard rock album?
We kind of joke about doing like non-metal stuff all the time. Like we want to do a lo-fi EP. We want to do like a punk thing where we just talk shit on our hometown and eat pizza and stuff.
Yeah.
We kind of joke about all that stuff all the time, but I don't think we would actually put out something that isn't metal.
Oh man, it could be so good though. I mean, you guys are so good at everything else you've touched.
Dude, I think it would be so much fun, but like our future plan as of right now, everything from now on is going to be very, very heavy, like super dark metal stuff.
I mean, you guys are already kind of super heavy and dark.
Ayo, let's go.
Is there by chance an overall theme or scheme of the band in a whole that you think people might not be paying attention to, grasping, or just being generally missed?
What do you mean exactly?
I don't know. It's a broad question. Just trying to leave it open for you.
Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, maybe it's what you stand for, or maybe there's like a manifesto or some general mental image or emotion or something that kind of brings all these separate EPs together, or just the band statement even.
There's nothing that like relating to the music, I guess, that we stand for. Like everything's like about something entirely different. So like each EP like stands alone with its ideas and whatnot. Like I guess our like band message is to just like have fun and do what you want, because that's literally what we always do, and we're always just chilling. Like, every time we ever hang out or like work on music, it's just kind of like a good time. And every time we record, it's like never like a stressful experience recording this stuff. It's just like we just want to like have fun, I guess. I don't know.
Is there anything about Dead Vectors in general that you want people to know that they may not know?
About the band, I don't know. There's like lots of little things that people definitely don't know, but like, I don't know. It was inspired by an old project I had. I don't know. That's something.
That is something.
Almost didn't happen because I almost quit music, but then I saw Aaron's page and hit him up and bada bing, Dead Vectors was born.
Right, right. I mean, probably a lot of people don't know it's a two-piece.
Yeah, it's pretty much just me and Aaron and like help from like two other dudes at some point in time. But yeah, it's just kind of me and Aaron just doing our thing. Like we vibe so well together when we write. that it just flows so much. So we did intend it to be like a real band, with all of the members and whatnot. And we did have like a group, like a band writing session, and it was like too many cooks in the kitchen. Me and Aaron just went straight back to just me and him.
So we're gonna get a Too Many Cooks cover, is what I'm hearing.
Yes. Exactly. That's talking. What this was leading up to. Yeah. I don't know. There's plenty of stuff, but like nothing like, I don't know, actually interesting.
Probably the one of the last things I want to bring up or ask you about with your immense vocal range. Do you find it difficult to try and create different tones and tonalities and sounds per EP? Do you find it a welcome challenge, or is it something you're even more just excited about and you're so good, it's not even a challenge? You can do all these different things, because a lot of vocalists, it gets a little flat over time where it's, yeah, oh yeah, it's this vocalist, he does X, Y, and Z very well, and A and B okay, and that's what you should expect, and that's what you're going to get on the next album as well. And with you guys, that's never the case. How do you, I guess, get over that mental hurdle of branching into new territory every month?
Well, I mean, throughout the year, I did find some new voices. Like during 2021, I did find out that I could do that yell scream. That was huge for me because I fucking love that voice. People compare it to Spite.
Yes, Spite. Yeah.
I love that voice and I love using it, and I get so excited. That as well as my guts. I love just ripping a good gut.
I don't think I've ever heard a dud or a miss from you out of anything you released last year. Like everything hit the target. it's all sharp. It's always crisp. It's always, it sounds talented and experienced, you know. Even with you trying all these new things, it doesn't seem like you're ever trying. It seems so natural all the time through all these releases.
Well, thank you.
It's just it's mind blowing, you know?
I do have to admit, I fucking hate doing mids. For me, they are so difficult. I don't know why. I can do lows. Lows are my go-to. They're so easy. It just happens. Guts, also pretty easy. My yells happen surprisingly easy. Highs are a little difficult, but I can do it no problem usually. But my mids, I always have a hard time nailing my mids. Every time I go to the studio, I have to like practice it a bunch and find it. And like I have found new voices while trying to find my mids, but like I have to admit, like my mids, I have no idea like what they truly are. I just kind of like do different stuff every month.
Well, I feel like out of all the different styles, mids are the ones that are more like genetically inclined to either you have it or don't. Is that true?
I don't know, because like it's hard to say, just because like for all the other vocal styles, you have to try to do it. So like I guess the fact that like mids are like, it's just like you opening your mouth and that's just the sound. Like I have a hard time finding like the pitch. It's like, I don't know. I guess it's true. Like it just kind of happens.
Yeah, because I think like when someone says mids, and I might be completely, you know, out of the loop here, but I think like Vincent from Acacia Strain like really rides mids, right?
Yeah.
And he's just a natural beast at it, and always has been. Yeah. And I feel like you really just you either have it or don't with mids, or you're going to struggle and have to practice consistently to come to something reasonable. While a lot of other things are either taught, learned, or you just come across naturally in a fun way. I might be looking at it completely wrong, but that's how I feel about it, I guess.
Well, I guess it's right. I definitely have trouble with my mids, though. Like, I have a few different mid voices. Like whenever we're going about stuff and I'm struggling with my mids and we're like trying to track something, Aaron would say like, oh, why don't you try your Kublai voice? And like, I'll try like that style of mids. And then I don't know. It is very difficult though, but I think you are correct. Like there are certain things that just like click. And if you don't have it, you don't.
Yeah, I think mids are that one case. I don't know. It's just there's something about like just reaching in the bottom of your soul and pulling it out and getting it out there. And it's either have it or don't. And well, everyone has it. It's just a matter of does it meet your own standards, I guess, right?
Yeah, I mean, even like from the first recording session, back in 2019 when we were doing Distraught Mind. I was having trouble with my mids back then too. Like, it is just so hard for me to just like settle on something mid range.
Well, no one can tell you're struggling because it always sounds great, but it's good to know how much effort you put forth to make it happen. I guess in closing, is there anyone you want to work with in the future? Any like collabs or guest spots on upcoming EP releases? Are you guys planning to do, you know, like one a month again this year? Are you going to slow it down? Or
No, we're not doing monthly releases this year. We have something.
Well, what are we supposed to look forward to every month?
You have to look forward to the fact that we are doing something big.
Big.
No.
Big is good.
I'm assuming, because it's as easy as saying that it will be big, that you probably know what it's going to be. But, yeah, we're not doing monthly this year. We're going to just put out one really big thing. And we're taking our time with it, which is way different than anything we've ever done. Typically we just put something down, we're like, sick, that sounds dope, let's run with it. This time around, this year, we are going to write stuff and really think about it and sit on it and like try to change it up and make it better. It's gonna be pretty dope.
Yeah, I put my money on that for sure. I can only imagine it's gonna be amazing. If you guys can crap out seamlessly amazing material every week, I'm sure when you actually try to put something together just for one single release, it's going to be better.
We joke about that, like the fact that we're just crapping out stuff, and this year we're actually going to try.
Well, that's something to look forward to. That's even better. I mean with so much material released last year, I think everyone still has a little catching up to do anyway. Probably they haven't gotten their full worth out of each of these releases and could probably listen to them a time or two again, waiting for the Big Mac Daddy this year, right?
Mm-hmm. Big Mac Daddy this year. That is a fact. I almost forgot to answer your question, though. I also kind of forget the question. But there are some big guest feature scenarios that I do want to happen.
That you do want to, or that are going to?
I'm assuming that they're going to.
Sweet. Can we talk about any of them, or is that NDA for now?
We haven't even started writing this year. We're taking like a couple months off where we're just like chilling. So nothing at all is set in stone. If I were to say any name, it could happen or just as easily not happen. But there are a few like pretty big names at the moment that I would like to get on board. Some I have connections with or am friends with, and some, you know, that are completely out there that would be fucking wild if I was able to get that person on. But
what are the deets? Who are you trying to reel in?
I don't know if I can truly just put that out there just yet.
Okay.
I know. I just don't want to start yelling names and just.
Is there anyone that you're not currently talking to that wouldn't be like an NDA situation where you maybe in the future want to reach out to?
This is not related to what we're doing right now, but I would love Phil Bozeman to be on anything.
That makes sense. Dude, why wouldn't you?
Just huge. Like, his voice is just monstrous. I feel like a weak little baby boy compared to that dude.
I mean, are we talking about new Phil or old Phil? I mean, old Phil, yeah. New Phil is getting a little, I don't know. It's not as fun.
I don't know exactly. Probably older Phil, I guess.
Yeah.
There's a few names that I would absolutely love, but nothing that's groundbreaking, I guess.
Word. Well, that works. I'm glad we got something to look forward to, though. A little extra spice and sprinkle thrown on top, yeah, you know. Yeah. That's always good. Well, hell yeah. Do you have any other projects you're working on, whether it's music or not, that you wanted to talk about real quick or shout out or put out there?
For sure. I'm in another band called Pathogen. It's like very genty, very prog, and it's very melodic yet very heavy. Some people definitely be down to jam some of that stuff. We're writing some new material for this year as well, so it's like side by side Pathogen and Dead Vectors, especially like everyone involved in Pathogen is involved with Dead Vectors, essentially. Like, we share the same group chat. That's how like Sick. Intertwined okay. it is. Yeah, check out Pathogen as well. Bada bing, bada boom. That's all I got.
Cool. So yeah, like Dead Vectors on socials. Is it just Dead Vectors across the board?
Yep.
Same with Pathogen.
Pathogen US.
Pathogen US. Okay.
Across the board. School or something. I don't know.
So IG, Facebook, Spotify.
Yeah, should be all that.
Dope. Cool. Well, yeah, thanks. Thanks for taking the time to talk with me, man, especially on short notice and just so willingly. Like it's really nice to just meet someone like you that would just, hop on and talk to some random stranger just for the sake of fun. And it's more than appreciated. And I'm sure everyone else appreciates you being here too. It's Kenny Stroh, Dead Vectors. You're listening to A Mime Soapbox per usual. We will talk to you again soon. Thanks, Kenny.
Of course. Thank you very much for having me.